someday. Good morning to all of you listeners out there. It is me. I am here again with you. It is my pleasure to join you. My name is Shamar Roberts, pastor of the Bladesill Church of the Nazarene, and I have this great opportunity to share with you guys again. And before we begin, I want to give a shout out and great thanks to our sponsors, Federal Motor Spirits, as well as the Barbados Nazarene District, for being our sponsors this morning, the Barbados Nazarene District and Federal Motor Spirits, making sure that we are on the air so that you guys can listen with us, join in with us, even share with us as well. On the topic of sharing, I want to thank you guys so much for your feedback so far. Keep it coming. Pros, cons, the good, the bad, the things that can be improved on, the things that touch you, the things that bless you. Share those words, because it's when you share, it's when we speak to one another, especially when we have the opportunity to talk about God's word, that it doesn't just allow us to grow, but even allows the person who's sharing the word, me, myself, to grow from the things that you guys share as well. So please, please do continue to send those messages. Feel free to tell me your thoughts. I have had some amazing conversations based on the time that we have spent in this segment. So please do continue. I'm always open to hear what you guys have to say. Yeah, and it doesn't matter if we agree or not. We can have a great conversation, yeah? So, I want to jump right into today's lesson. And I'm reading from James chapter 2 from verse 1. James chapter 2 verse 1. I'm reading from the ESV version this time. It starts off, the sin of partiality. The sin of partiality. Reading from verse 1. My brothers, show no partiality as you hold the faith in our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory. For if a man wearing a gold ring and fine clothing comes into your assembly, and a poor man in shabby clothing also comes in. And if you pay attention to the one who wears the fine clothing, and you say, you, sit here in a good place, while you say to the poor man, you, come stand over there, or sit down at my feet, have you not then made distinction among yourselves, and become judges with evil thoughts? Listen, my beloved brothers, has not God chosen those who are poor in the world to be rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom, which he has promised to those who love him? But you have dishonored the poor man. Are not the rich ones who oppress you and the ones who drag you into court? Are they not the ones who blaspheme the honorable name by which you were called? If you really fulfill the royal law according to scripture, you shall love your neighbor as yourself, you are doing well. But if you show partiality, you are committing sin and are convicted by the law as transgressors. For whoever keeps the law but fails in one point has become guilty of all of it. For he who said, do not commit adultery, also said, do not murder. If you do not commit adultery, but do murder, you have become a transgressor of the law. So speak and act as those who are to be judged under the law of liberty, the entirety of the law of liberty. That's me. For judgment is without mercy to one who has shown no mercy. Mercy triumphs over judgment. Mercy triumphs over judgment. Now, the remaining part of this chapter is also very important, yeah? And I think we can cover that next week. We will tackle that part, kind of like a part two next week, yeah? But this first part, it is so clear, it's so concise, it's so important, it's so simple, and still something that we see in the world up to today. You know, it's something we've seen in movies, we've seen portrayed on TV time and time again. And more than just being in medium and the clear-cut black and white of it, the right and wrong of it, the thing that is within us that causes us to innately know when we see favoritism and partiality in the world, is things that still happen to this day. We see it all over from our workplaces. Sometimes I'll give you an example as someone who works in a financial institution. Oftentimes, you know, customers feel that way sometimes when it feels as though somebody gets favoritism over another. You know, we see it all over, all around. But here God is saying it does exist in the world. But when it comes to my church, when it comes to my assembly, when it comes to the gathering of the saints, I want nothing to do with it. I don't want to see it at all. And there's a distinction that is made here in James. You see, James doesn't just address this topic. He addresses it with a seriousness. And he only introduces that seriousness in the latter part because he brings in the law. So he brings this up and he mentions it. And it seems as though to the Christians, to us who he's speaking to, he wants to make clear that we cannot weigh this as a small sin. We can't weigh this as something that is minuscule that we can brush off. He says, no, don't compare this. This is a part of the entirety of the law of liberty. You can't live by part of this. It's not more important for you to not commit murder, but it's okay for you to tell the white lie. It's okay for you to do this. No, I can understand and I can see how within our minds and within our equations, one will be equated to more. But what he says here is that the law of liberty must be complete within you. You must be walking in the totality of it in order for it to be working within you. Because if you do one and you don't do the other, then you are still at odds. You are still coming against Christ. You are still a transgressor. Now, I do believe that there is an understanding here that God knows and he understands what he's telling us here because, yes, as I said before, we will equate sin. We will have sin on different levels, even our justice systems. And to a certain extent, you can understand our justice systems will judge and treat these things differently. But you see, when God is dealing with us, he's not dealing with us on a 70-year basis. He's not dealing with us just for the time that we are on earth. He is dealing with our spiritual aspect, the man that doesn't die, the part that goes on to either eternal separation or eternal glory, eternal joining in that kingdom with him. So when he looks at the totality of it, this law of liberty is necessary to be at work with us if it is we are to face eternity joined with him, a part of his kingdom. So he's not just equating our time on earth. He's looking at the totality of who we are. We only have the ability to see so much with our limited vision as we exist in time. But him seeing outside of time, seeing what is necessary for us to carry on and continue with him, sees that this work has to be within us in a totality. Now, again, easier said than done because, of course, I am not going to sit here and make it seem as though it is easy to not tell the white lie, or it is easy for some of us to avoid certain sins while others are more difficult. That's every man, you know. But what is being addressed here as well is how we equate, and not just how we equate, but also sometimes how we point fingers. Oftentimes we look around at our brothers and sisters and we see them in their states and we see them doing certain things and we can't believe they do it. Sometimes we even say that to others, you know, when they're not around or not in our presence. I can't believe he would say something like that. I can't believe she would wear something. I can't believe she would do something like that. And even in some cases, and this often happens as well too, it's sad, but it's true. It's almost as though we were waiting for that person to slip up, to have the opportunity to say something. It may even get so bad that it brings us to the point where there's even a little bit of, if we're honest, because a lot of people may not want to be honest about this, but there was a little bit of joy within us or a little bit of enjoyment in finding out that somebody else had fallen. Now, even if you tell me that that has never been you, okay, fine, no problem. But I know for sure, this is the part that a lot of people admit, they have seen it in others. Even though they might not want to admit that they've seen it in themselves or it has happened to them or they have been in that position. Because we equate sin. We place a value on how bad one particular sin is. One is worth 25 years in prison while the other is worth 5 years. But God is saying, if I have the totality of your heart, then it means even the things that you equate that deserve 25 years, and rightfully so, we do understand. And the things that deserve only 5 is a petty crime. You know, we can let you off with just a slap on the wrist, some probation. God is saying, I have the ability. You see, me sending my son here to earth, you having Emmanuel. And that word is going to be important for us going forward. Emmanuel, God with us, means that you have the ability to not be a transgressor, to not sin in partiality or even in the more gruesome things that come to mind, violence and murder and adultery and all these other things. He says, because you have Emmanuel, the power of Emmanuel is so great that you have the ability to overcome. So this expectation that I am placing on you is one that is warranted, not because of your ability, not because of how great you are, but when my spirit has the ability to live within you and you are obedient. Remember, obedience is better than sacrifice. If it's one body that know that lesson, let me tell you, it is me. Obedience is better than sacrifice. So if you are obedient to that spirit, then God is going to be able to pour out the necessary things into your life that will keep you away from being a transgressor. So this expectation on us as human beings is not on us as human beings alone, but it is on us as human beings becoming complete as we accept Christ's spirit within us. Emmanuel, God with us. The thing we're celebrating this ending of the year, in about how long? A few days, we'll be celebrating Emmanuel is with us, God with us. Now I'm going to come back up. I kind of started there in the middle, and I did that for a reason. I'm going to come back up now to this particular sin of partiality. And I love the example that James used, because that is an example that has so much practical application. It's a very simple example. They said, we've seen it portrayed in TVs and movies and time again. As much as we see it in TVs and movies, we still see it play out in real life, sometimes almost every day. Because even myself, I had to ask myself, but okay, in this particular situation, right? Most churches now have those nice chairs, the soft one-seater chairs that can join, you know, they have the ability to join one another. I'm pretty sure you're familiar with what we're talking about. We've moved away from the church benches, and most churches have those chairs. They come in burgundy, they come in navy. I've even seen green and purple as well, too. If someone comes to your church who is homeless, who is poor, who does not have the ability to do certain things for themselves, maybe even on a daily basis, you know, and they just want to be in church. We don't know what their motives are. You might feel as though, you know, they might not be fully in the right mind, beard all over the place, or the person is just very poorly kept and even not smelling good. Maybe even makes you wonder if they've soiled themselves in some way. You know, that's the moment now. And that is what I thought of when reading this scripture this week. If that person walks into my church, and my church still has church benches, well, it also has the nice cushion chairs up front. Will I ask that person to sit in the back as opposed to sitting in the chairs, the nice cushion soft chairs at the front? Because I may have to get a chair clean after they're gone. Now, I'm asking this because these are the practical applications that I think we have to put ourselves in more often so that we can really grasp what the word is trying to say to us. Because taking in the word is fine, it's great, it's fantastic. Practical application is maybe what we need a little bit more of. So I had to ask myself, Shamar, really put yourself in the position of what James is saying here. And I asked myself that same question. Suppose that person walks into your church. Am I committing the sin of partiality if I ask them to sit in the benches as opposed to the chairs? And I had to pause too. Because when I actually think about it, you know, it really made you question. Because there's so many other variables to it. I want this person to be comfortable too. Most persons at our church would prefer to sit in the softer chairs as opposed to the harder chairs that they're a lot more uncomfortable to sit in. For some people, the harder chairs are more comfortable than others. But you see, it's not so much about the comfort level of the person. If anything, my motive for asking them to sit in the bench is because I don't want them in my soft chairs. It's because I don't want to have to steam clean the chairs, or I probably pay to have the chairs clean. It becomes a burden on me, and I want to avoid that burden. So in avoiding that burden, in avoiding to have the others be burdened by that person being around, I get asked to sit at the back. That's the logical thing to do. And many of you might be listening and agreeing with me as well, and I understand where that thought process comes from. But you see, James goes to scripture, he even goes to Jesus's words. He mentions the greatest commandment. And he puts us in trouble, because from the time he goes to the greatest commandment, in verse 8 he says, if you really fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, you shall love your neighbor as yourself, you are doing well. So the only way I can do well in that situation is if I love my neighbor as myself. And me, myself, well, I know I like to sit down in the soft chairs. And I know that my motive for asking them to sit down in the hard chairs would be because I don't want to burden myself. I don't want to burden my church. But are we not there to carry each other's burdens? To help out one another? When I think of the Good Samaritan, he took on the burden of another. He took on the responsibility, and I like the word responsibility here, because it shows us what it really means to consider someone even more than we consider ourselves. To put them in the treatment that I would give myself if I was outside of myself in the situation. Now, I know many of you may still disagree with my conclusion, but I challenge you to pray about it, to ask God about it. Don't just write me off, please. Don't just write me off and say, well, no, he's completely wrong. But especially at this time of year where we are extra charitable, I want us to consider that thought of what it means when my motive takes over. Now, I give you an example. The person who considers someone else more than themselves, even the particular person, the homeless person that comes to the church in this situation, comes to the assembly in this situation, if their motive for putting the person in the hard bench at the back of the church is because that's their favorite place to sit, that's the chair that's most comfortable for them because the soft chair is too soft for their back. So now that person would not be committing the sin of partiality, because in their mind, they're giving this person that has come to them the best that they have. You see, when the rich man come in, they're going to say, oh, let me give you the seat that I really like for myself. It's right here in the back. It's cozy. It's not too hot. It's not too cold. It's on a nice bench that can get good back support and stuff. Then them gone clear because their motives for doing it. Now, I'm not saying that motive is everything, because at the end of the day, good intentions can still pave the way to some very wrong things for ourselves. But when Christ looks at the heart of that individual who in their mind is giving the best that they can give, then Christ is pleased. But when he looks at my heart, who puts the person in the back at the bench because I don't want to burden myself with everything else that comes with putting them in the nice chairs at the front, then I will find myself in the sin of partiality. Then I will become a transgressor because of those actions. You see, it's all nice and dandy to do these things when Christmas time comes around. But there are a lot of people out there who need help, not just when Christmas comes around. There are a lot of people out there who need consistency. Consistency. Because Christmas and this time of year is great, you know, they get through a lot better than they do at other parts of the year. But then January rolls around and February and March, and they don't see the help that they will see coming on to the end of the year. And that's not the people we're supposed to be. That's not the assembly we're supposed to be. We can't be partial with how we give and at what time of year we give. Yes, we're in a better mood because when we think about Emmanuel being with us at this particular point of year, you know, giving is if anything, it comes as second nature because we've been given so much. We've received so much. But should that be something we do every year? Should that be something we do all throughout the year? And it hearkens me to communion, because communion now, if anything, is the reminder to us of what we have received. And the Bible says, do it as much as is necessary. Now, within the Nazarene church, I know most Nazarene churches do it at least once a month. You know, sometimes others do it more than often. I'm thinking about us having it more than once a month, particularly this month. I think we can even do it on Christmas morning. I mean, the church board have been in talks about that. But as much as is necessary is what's important there. And as much as is necessary is for us, because it's as much as necessary that you need a reminder, a renewal of the table that you were invited to. Because when you have an understanding of that invitation, you then start to see that that invitation isn't just for me. But the Great Commission says that all, go out there and tell all the world about this invitation to come to God's table, to the Creator's table, and be a part of his family. We were separated from that family at one point. We cut ourselves from that bloodline. We spat on our inheritance. And not just Adam and Eve, so don't just tell me it's Adam and Eve. We sin in sin and sins. Sin, S-A-N, that's the Adam and Eve. We'll have a conversation about that when we get there. But the sins, S-A-N-S, the ones that we add every day, cause us to join with them in spitting on inheritance. And God says, no, I'll make a way that you can come back. Now that that way has been made and we just have to choose it, go and tell everybody. So you see, when your mindset becomes everybody's invited to this table, everybody can come and share in this Emmanuel. Everybody can have a seat, regardless of rich or poor, smell bad or smell good, hungry or belly full. We are all invited to this table to come and eat as much as we need, because He's provided for it. He's made a way that we can receive this Spirit. We can receive this salvation. So there's no partialness here. He says, come as you are. Come and sit. That's what James is attacking here. Because each and every one of us has an open invite to His table. It don't matter what we smell like. Some of us don't get to sit down in nice soft chairs. And some of us, because we smell bad, we got to sit down in hard chairs. You see that communion table that He invites us to, that the Emmanuel has paved the way for? Everybody's sitting at the same level. Everybody has the same seat. Nobody sits higher, nobody sits lower. Come as you are. You want to know the funny thing about us coming as we are? When it comes to God's table, right, from the time we step through the door and we go to sit in His presence, everything is left at the door. Not just our burdens. The titles that we have in this world are left at the door. The bank account and net worth is left at the door. The negative things that people said about us, true or not true, they're left at the door. The names people called us that maybe may have been true at some time, they're left at the door. So that when we go to sit at the table, we are all equal. God doesn't care. When He says, come as you are, He knows what He's saying. He's inviting you, knowing that as you are is equal to every other human being. When you come to His table, the equity and equality is the same across the board. Isn't that amazing? So now when we operate within this world, you see the sin of partiality? We can't have it within us. Because the God that invites us to His table, there's none in His table. There's none in His courts. None whatsoever. So for us now who carry His Spirit, who are citizens of the kingdom, who carry His word, we now have to be of the same mindset. Our assemblies have to have the same look. Our gatherings must be that of an extension of the kingdom. So partner, when you come, I ain't care if you smell good, I ain't care if you smell bad. I ain't interested in how much cologne you put on. I ain't interested in how much gold rings and gold chains you have. I ain't interested in if you come in a suit or if you come in flip-flops, a t-shirt and a short pants. Come, sit down, and hear, experience this God for yourself. So you could go back and tell somebody else about Him too when you receive. Yeah? I said it, I think, 2 weeks ago. And I'll say it again. Do as much as you can to provide the opportunity. Not the surety. Not the guarantee. Because everybody still has their choice. Do as much as you can to provide the opportunity for them to receive this word. For them to receive this Christ. So if God says, come as you are. Well, it's our responsibility to make sure that they know they can come however they are. Just be prepared. Know what you're coming for. You're coming to receive this word. That's it for me today. We're going to jump into part two. And I'm very excited about part two, because now we start to see why James says what he says. He gets into faith without works is dead. And that is a lovely scripture. Familiar to most of us. Most of us have heard it already. Most of us are familiar with it. So that's going to be a fun time. So join us next week for that. As for now, I want to say a huge thank you again to Federal Motor Spirits for sponsoring, as well as the Church of Nazarene Barbados District. for sponsoring this time. I also want to give a big shout out to Reverend Farley. Thank you so much, sir, for this opportunity. And as well to the radio station staff who have been very lenient and gracious with me so far. I will be honest in saying I'm not always punctual with my recordings. However, they have been gracious to me so far, and I appreciate it. It really has been a busy time at work, and a lot of headache, a lot of stress this time of year. Generally, for a lot of us, it's busy, and they have been very patient and kind with me, and I appreciate it so much. I appreciate it so much. I will do better going forward. I will do better going forward. Things have definitely slowed down now. But yes, thank you so much. I want you guys to have a great day. Send me your feedback. Let's talk. Let's have some conversations. Let's grow together. Let this iron sharpen iron. I want to wish you guys a great Sunday and a Merry Christmas from me and my church. My name is Pastor Shamar Roberts from the Blaze Hill Church in Nazarene. You guys have a fantastic day. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know he holds the future. My life is worth the living just because he lives. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because